Welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everybody. I'm Jamie West from Westpro Mediation and Consulting, along with Tracy Miller, veteran lawyer and mediator with Miller Law and Mediation. And Tracy, today we're going to be talking about furry friends and how they factor into separation and divorce more and more, it seems, these days.
You know, it was almost like it was on cue. My dog outside where I am recording this just barked on cue.
Perfect. See, we're including that in the podcast today. Let him or her bark away.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly. So people start to bark at each other. We know when they separate, and lately a lot of the barking has been over the family pet. And excuse me, apparently out west, they've made some actual changes to the law. Out in BC, apparently, there's been some precedent set when it comes to, we call it parenting time with the family pet. They used to call it custody. Why do you think that that's happening? And give us sort of a synopsis of the story.
Well, I don't even know. I'm of two minds when I read the story. It was about a decision that's in BC, because apparently BC has changed their law on it about pets, and they can be considered, sort of like custody in a matrimonial case. And I know in Ontario, as far as I know, pets have always been property, right? I mean, they're hugely important to people. I get that. I've got two dogs of my own that are sort of my substitute kids now that my three are old enough that they've moved out. But I don't know that I agree with it. And I can tell you why, because I think you have to look at it at the perspective of the court system. And when you already have a really overburdened system, and when it's taking people months to get in front of a judge to make decisions about their kids, for example, and it can take you even longer than that. If you wanted to have a trial on an issue, you're probably looking at over a year at least to do that. And you have to know that there's limited judicial resources, right? Which is always, I think, at the base of the problem, is that there's only so many judicial hours to go around. Should you get to take up court time and judicial hours to argue about, like this case, to argue about who gets the dog?
And it was $60,000 the person had to argue it. So, listen, I'm going with you mm-hmm. on this. We can't get enough court time to deal with, you know, human issues, child issues. I realize everybody doesn't have children, but
yep.
Still, you know what. We're going to do pets, like, and what kind are we going to start to then say,
exactly.
Well, it's just dogs and cats, or do tropical fish count? You know, where does it end?
Well, and that's exactly, because when I saw it initially and I looked at it and I thought, well, geez, you certainly have clients. The one I was dealing with yesterday, part of the offer deals with the family pet, which is fine. Yeah. I'm not taking up judicial hours on this one. This is between lawyers. But to put that in front of a judge and to lead evidence in front of a judge, even if you can afford to spend the $60,000 in legals on what happens with your dog, I just don't think you get to take up court time, right? Because I never, ever forgot I had a judge who I really respected, and we were in a, they call it speak to court in Kitchener, but they decide there's a civil list, a criminal list, two civil lists actually of cases, and a family law list at that part time. So there's dozens of cases. And the purpose of this attendance before the judge is to say, okay, who's going, how many days, and then they try and you know, figure out what judges they have to cover the trials. And there's somebody that stood up and said, well, his case should take precedent for whatever reason. When you hear it, when I heard what it was, I just kind of thought, okay, you shouldn't even be standing there saying that. But the judge said to him, I have a traumatic brain injury of a child case, I have a murder case, and he rhymed off a few of them. And he looked at him and said, why do you think your case should get priority over the dozens of other ones that we're now trying to figure out where we're going to have allot the judicial time to, right? So in the middle of that, yeah, like, is it dogs, you said? Is it, you know, lizards? Is it, I mean, how far would you take this?
Yeah, it's, I think that, you know, there's... There may be a certain way of looking at things out west. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening out west, that's I mean that in the most positive sense. I mean, people out west seem to have a more chill kind of way of living than we do out here. We're based in Southern Ontario, and you know, they're a little, maybe it's the ocean air and the mountains and everything out there that make people a little more chill. That's great.
You know what the analogy is, I think, when you do this type of work? One of the last things you want to do if you're in front of a judge on whatever the appearance is argue over household contents.
Right.
It's just kind of an unwritten rule with lawyers that do this. Like, I'm not getting up there in front of a judge and arguing about who gets the living room. And it's not out of arrogance or I think it's not important. It's just, I know what the response is going to be. You're going to have a judge looking at you saying,
sort it out.
Yeah. Sell it, sort it, do whatever you want. But we're not taking up court time to decide how you're dividing up the furniture. We're not doing it.
Right. And you know, in the vast, vast majority of cases, people have that kind of resolve. It's funny that those types of things are the things that people seem to resolve pretty quickly, almost immediately, like who's taking the couch and who's taking the love seat. And,
Not always. Not always.
You don't agree, eh? Okay. Maybe it's about wishful thinking on my part.
Again, I think it's if you have the financial wherewithal that you want to argue over it. Yeah. There's certainly cases where people would, but you usually get a very cold reception in terms of judges. And I think they're also conscious of what's the cost around the table here to argue over it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, it brings up the topic of mediation. You know, a situation with pets seems to me to be the perfect – mediation seems to be the perfect forum for that kind of a discussion and that kind of a settlement.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because A, you're not taking up court time. And B, you can decide on whatever issues you want to discuss and resolve, right? And the process, and you can structure your own process in terms of how you want to resolve it. I think it's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah. What do you say? I mean, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here about people who actually do kind of believe that their pet is their child. I see people that don't have children. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But if you have children, I don't see my dog. I love my dog, but I don't see my dog on the same plateau as my children. There's an order. So I just don't see the dog the same way.
Yeah, I don't either, right? I absolutely adore my two dogs, but do I put them on the same level as my kids? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think if and when it comes up with clients, I think that's exactly what I say. I mean, it may be very important to them, and I get that, but the last thing you want is to be in a courtroom setting and have the judge just shut you down for bringing it up. Mm-hmm. And when you realize the perspective they're coming from, I absolutely understand why they don't want to entertain it. But I think you need to have people advised ahead of time. That's likely the response you're going to get, and this just isn't necessarily the forum that you should be arguing about. But mediation, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And, you know, it all ties into the emotional state of mind of individuals when they're separating. I talk about this all the time. You know, people are wound up, and all the more reason, as I say, and I know you've advised the same, you know, maybe one of the first priorities when you're separating, divorcing, is to invest in your personal health, your personal strength, your mental health, your emotional health, right at the get-go, because it just is not an easy, fun process. There's a lot of loss involved, emotional loss, the loss of sometimes decades of partnership, and then, you know, loss of dreams and this kind of thing. It's serious business. So
I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I think that I was just going to say, I think that there are certainly cases where people believe they're losing so much. Right. Especially if you're the person who didn't want to separate and now you're cast into the middle of it and your whole life's getting divided up and, you know, now you're going to lose the dog, too. I mean, and I'm not being flippant about that at all. There's some people just get to a point where it's just not one more thing. Not one more thing am I going to divide up. And in a situation that I didn't even choose to be in.
That's right. And it's, you hear about people after separation and divorce going and getting a pet mm-hmm. for the first time because they're not ready to sort of get involved with another sort of deep relationship with somebody, but the pet gives them a reason to get up in the morning kind of thing and gives them unconditional love and they get to walk the pet and that kind of thing. I understand all that.
And I think it's also people, especially if you're super attached to your pet, you're going to be worried that your ex isn't going to look after them.
That's right.
Right. And I think on some level, I think that's a concern people have as well, right? Is you just want to take the dog despite me and you never cared for the dog as much as I do. And I've heard people say that, right? So, I mean, it's not that you don't deal with this issue when you do this type of law, but it really, I think, is a question of what forum you're in and, you know, whether you're going to be able to deal with it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of a sidebar away from pets in custody with a few minutes we have remaining. I wonder if we're headed towards another, you know, we talked in January about it being sort of divorce season, and that proved to be right. I know my phone was ringing off the hook in January with people making inquiries about mediation, and several people actually signed up for mediation with me, and I know you've been busy as well. And I wonder I wonder if we're going to see an increase in people looking to separate and hopefully do it in a mediated fashion or ADR fashion in the next little while with school year kind of coming to an end. That's another one of those times of the year. Do you see that historically as a family lawyer that, you know, the calls kind of pick up a bit? In the spring or early summer?
Yeah, I think people want to. There's a lot of people want to get it done. And if they're going to have to sell or move or relocate, they want to do it before school starts in the fall. And you're really the time to tackle that is when you're coming into the spring because these matters don't resolve that quickly usually. So you do see people now focusing on it. The holidays are over and you're through February. And they're looking at it. Yeah. They're looking at it going, okay, we need to move this ahead. And if we're going to sell, we need to get it listed and get it done. And it's funny how this type of work is almost seasonal, eh?
It is, yeah, for sure. And it's certainly, the way to go. If you're listening and you're thinking about making a move and doing that, then you should pick up the phone and talk to a few mediators, talk to mm-hmm. a couple of lawyers. There's no rule that says you need to talk to one and one only. Do a little bit of research, ask a few questions and make sure that there's a, you know, sort of a personality fit for you when you're talking to a lawyer or a mediator, because that's really important. That's going to help to get things going in the right direction and make things go more smoothly. And probably more quickly as well. So I always tell people, you got to also modulate your expectations. Yes, if you get into litigation, as we've said so many times, Tracy, on the show, it's going to be months, if not, it's certainly going to be months and months and months, maybe years, a couple of years, could be 10 years, depending on how hot it is. Mediation, you know, people have a tendency to think it's a drive-through sort of thing. It's not.
No.
But it can be done in a couple of months. If everybody's on the same page and, you know, you can get through the sessions, you can get your deal done in a couple of months and then have that taken to somebody like Tracy to have it drawn up legally into a separation agreement, have a memorandum of understanding, which is negotiated between you and the other party with the mediator as a facilitator. Get that done, take it off to somebody like Tracy Miller, and she turns it into a legally binding separation agreement, and you're done. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be that straightforward for people, right? It really can. It just doesn't have to turn into an expensive circus to try and get stuff done.
No.
And I think people are starting to see that, right? That there's just better ways to do it.
There sure are. Tracy, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to make contact and ask you a few questions?
Sending me an email is tracy@miller-law.ca. And I'm on the net. It's Miller Law and Mediation if you want to check out the website.
All right. I'm going to read the disclaimer this week because I can hear you got a little bit of a you got a little bit of a spring rasp in your voice.
A little raspy.
Which is kind of, you sound like Ann Wilson from Heart, actually. I was wondering if you could sing Barracuda.
Maybe I've got a second career coming.
There you go. This podcast is for information purposes only. It's not intended to provide you with legal, accounting, counseling, or therapeutic advice. Every case is different. You need to get your advice from your own lawyer, accountant, and therapist who knows the particular facts of your situation. And you can reach me, Jamie West. It's J West, the letter J, J West at westprolmediation.com. And we'll be back again soon with another edition of the podcast. And oh, Tracy, we should remind everybody, drop us a line about the podcast. You want something covered in the podcast? Send us an email and we'll cover it, right? And
yep, absolutely.
And we're getting more and more people listening to the podcast, and we thank you for that. And, you know, spread the word and keep downloading, and we love you all out there. So thank you, everybody, for that. Tracy, good to talk to you. Take good care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yep, talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.